You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
We have Miss Nikita Valorel on the line. Let's say good afternoon to her, if she's there. Good afternoon, Miss.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
All right, no problem. So we're talking about study education for children with disabilities. Give us a little briefer bio of yourself.
Okay, so my...
And you could raise your volume a little bit now. You're a little low.
Okay, that's the most my...
Okay. You're any better now.
Yeah, so apologies for that. Yeah, so my name is Nikita Valorel. I am the founder of Kaleido Kids Learning Hub, which is a school situated in Coover for special needs children, as well as neurotypical children, which are those are the children that we call regular children without any disabilities. The school is catering for children who have ADHD, learning delays, speech delays, nonverbal children, as well as children with dyslexia, autism. So I'm the founder of that. I'm also a mother of one child, a wonderful 11-year-old boy. I'm also the founder of a beauty brand called Lumivel Luxury Cosmetics. I'm also a technician as well, by profession.
All right, okay. Nice, and you've been doing this for a number of years. So tell us a little about, well, in terms of study education for children with disabilities, exactly what sort of disabilities we're talking about here?
So we are speaking about speech delays. So for example, we have quite a number of cases where children are coming into schools at, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they cannot form complete sentences, or they cannot even say simple words.
Right. So do you think it is a fault of some parents tend to be in denial, right? Because I remember there was a time somebody introduced me to their daughter. I believe your daughter was about 4 or 5 years old or something. I can't remember the age, but at that age, you know, children are very, these children these days, they could tell you a whole storybook, right? I mean, once they grow up well and reading and stuff. But I noticed something was wrong, and I really implored this mother to go to the speech therapist or find something, and something was actually, you know, wrong with the child. So is it because most of the times, sometimes parents are in denial, or they refuse to, you know, want to see, well, something is wrong with the child?
I mean, sometimes, yes. Some parents are in denial. I have met parents like that. But sometimes there are parents who genuinely, like, let's say it's their first child, they genuinely do not know, or they generally, you know, it kind of, they think, well, maybe I should hold on, you know, maybe this is normal, maybe my child will start talking soon. So they are not too aware, and sometimes they overlook early intervention.
All right. I know there are some other things some parents say, is that, well, the child might develop late because maybe it happened to the father.
Yes.
And sometimes socializing with other children helps as well, too. If the child is kind of like by themselves, they tend not to be that much talkative, you know. So
So on that note, with respect to interacting with other children, so sometimes the issue is, like, let's say there's an only child. The child is in a home with only adults. Sometimes they don't speak as quickly because sometimes the parents just going about their way and not really having conversations with them. So they have no one to speak with. And when they go into a school environment, then they, you know, they actually start being themselves and start expressing themselves. And sometimes the parents are shocked. So, for example, I had an open house 2 weeks ago, and a parent came to me and told me that the child does not speak at all. So I said, "You're sure?" She said, "Yes, nothing." And there were two other children there at the school at the time during the open house. And the child went, you know, he gravitated towards them, and they were all playing with some Play-Doh, and they started sharing. And he started saying little words because they were talking to him. And she was shocked. Yeah, because she told me that he does not speak at all. And I asked her, I said, "Do you speak with him at home?" She said, "No." She said she kind of, you know, she lives
with him at home.
And she don't speak with him. She would set him up with his toys and, you know, his books and his tablet. But to say, like, have conversations with him when they are home, no. Maybe. So that's why he does not speak.
So what kind of, I don't know, what kind of parent is that? Why would you not want to talk to your child? Anyway, everybody different, you know. But it really starts from young, even from in the early babies in the womb. Would you say how you interact with a child? A lot of people read with the child, you know, play some music, interact with the child, like if the child is already out there, you know. Would you say?
Yes, I agreed.
Mm-hmm. So at your school, but with your experience, what is it that really would change, you know, or help develop a child with a particular disability?
All right, so for example, let's use the example of, so we have some children, they are normal in terms of they can speak, they can count, they can do everything, but they lack the social interactions as well as the emotional regulation. So those are some of the autistic children. So at our school, we use different strategies in terms of helping them to regularize this. We have a sensory room where they go in, and that's in that room, there are quite different things that will help the child. So for example, some children, they express themselves through art, some through music, some through play. In that room, we have different setups in terms of when, let's say the child is having a meltdown, I have art boards, the child can listen to that. We have music, we have crash bar, we have soft lighting, soft music. So those are some of the things that we use, the strategies we use to get them to stay calm. Additionally, if a child has speech delays, some children, they are visual children. So we have things like visual schedules, visual boards, pictures that we use to get them to be able to say little words. Additionally, we use the Jolly Phonics system, which starts from the basic. So if anyone is familiar with that, they know it starts from like the letter S. So it shows songs. Then there's an app as well that you can play that will say the song to them, and then they can repeat it. And in addition to that, it includes small words. So for example, with S, it will start with words like soap, so that they can start hearing it over and over. And then eventually, when we use all the different groups, so they are groups on S, A, T, X, for example, and then all those words line into one, and then they can form sentences. So eventually they start forming sentences. And once they start forming sentences, then we start using books that have simple sentences, and then they start reading. That's one example.
Mm-hmm. All right, and how would you say a child's environment, the environment the child is born into, really affects the development of a child with a disability?
Of course, so with respect to environment, with these type of children, you need to provide structure. You need to provide individualized attention and strategies that will help support their communication as well as their emotional development. So the example I gave before with the child at home with the parents not really speaking to them, or a parent who is in denial and does not provide the right environment at home for the child. So the child is there in this environment that is not conducive to his or her development, right? So for example, as I mentioned, the visual schedulers, there are items that parents could have at home, or set up the environment, or even allow them to have interactions with other children their age. Right? My son, for example, he had some issues in terms of identifying letters. And when he left preschool, he could not read. If I wrote a C on the board, he could not tell me. Right? Even though I did a lot of work with him prior to that, it was something that I did not recognize until, you know, that time when he graduated, and then I realized, hey, he could not do it. So then I would have created an environment at home along with the Jolly Phonics system, and I worked with him 1 year for an entire year. Every day we would have done like about half hour of, you know, phonics and stuff using that system, and eventually within a year or two reading. Mm-hmm. So I think the environment matters, and it all starts with the parents accepting that their child is different and having early intervention.
All right, and of course what you're talking there is about a lot of individual care as well too.
Definitely.
It sounds that a lot of people might sound a little very much expensive to to go to probably, I don't know, your school or maybe other schools that they like. Let's say a child is born into a not too well-to-do family or a single mom who, you know, that had a study to work and thing, and then take care of this child. What could you recommend to somebody like that?
Well, to be honest with you, to set up the right environment for those type of children, unfortunately, it is quite expensive, especially in the areas of the professionals, like, for example, your teachers. These teachers are highly qualified and experienced in special needs, so, you know, salaries for them would be a bit competitive. Additionally, with these type of children, you cannot have a classroom with the traditional 12 to 15 children, because what will happen, your child will get lost along the way, because a teacher to handle those numbers, especially with those type of children, it is impossible. So smaller classes are required. So for example, six, well, at my school I do six, right? So that means more staff has to be hired. That's more salaries, more money. And the equipment, you have to, so I also have equipment as well called AAC devices. So these help the children communicate. So it's a device where there's a picture, for example, there's a picture of a boy looking sad, and the child will press that, and that will communicate to the teacher that, listen, I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling hungry. You know, there are lots of different examples on the device. So all those things are expensive to set up. Honestly, no matter like where you go, where, you know, a place that has the proper facility, it would not be cheap, to be honest.
And after a facility like yours, are children with disabilities, let's say they start off at your level, maybe a primary level, is it possible for some of them to enter back into, you know, a normal school?
Yes, it is possible. If they learn the right structure and the right routines in terms of emotion regulation, because as I said earlier, some of them, they are very high functioning, they know everything, it's just that they have the meltdowns. So if they learn strategies, and the parents as well, you know, they do, you know, they collaborate with the teachers, and they, you know, we work together in terms of getting the child to that level, it is possible. With respect to the academic side of it, it is very possible as well for a child to reintegrate into the primary school level once they have, you know, come up to that level from, you know, by learning the basics, you know, in terms of the phonics, the numeracy, the social skills. So yes, I would say yes, it is quite possible.
All right, once again, folks, if you just joined us, we are talking with Nikita Valorel, founder of the Kaleido Kids Learning Hub, right? Steady education for children with disabilities. Does one need a special training to deal with children with disabilities, or can any teacher, you know, could teach children with disabilities?
No, definitely. You need to learn the different strategies. So yes, you need specialized training to deal with these type of children, because as I said, they are not normal. If you don't know how to deal with a child when they're having a meltdown, you know, then the child will just spiral even more out of control. So you have to know, you know, if the child is feeling a certain way, how to deal with it, then you have to know how to teach that child, because to teach a regular child, let's say, regular ABCs, is quite different from a child who is nonverbal or a child who has a speech delay.
And when you say a meltdown, describe to us what a meltdown would be like.
I mean, it varies, but for example, a child, let's say the child is out in the playground, the child went to play with the parents, and there were regular children. No special needs children, and the child wants to play. And you know, some children, you know, they tend to be a bit mean at times, and they might say, you can't play with us, you're different. And then the child does not process that properly. The child could start screaming, or, you know, throw themselves on the ground, you know, and just going crazy. right? Lights could also be something that can affect them. So some of the autistic children, if it's like you have too many flashing lights, they can also start screaming and they want to leave wherever they are. Some of them, noise as well. Too much noise could also cause this. It could trigger that type of behavior as well.
And of course, at your place there, we see ages 3 to 7 years. You recommend you get into this early childhood learning with disabilities as early as possible. But what about after? Well, care after 7 years. How does one care for one of the children after 7 years, going into even a teenager?
Oh, well, at that age, well, as I said, so at age seven, the child basically has to reintegrate into the primary school. However, there are a few specialized schools that continue along that primary school level. So those schools will be also well equipped to deal with those type of children and take them along that journey in helping them to cope with and regulate their emotions, and it will also be able to cater to their learning styles and their learning levels.
Right, Miss Villarreal. Well, anything you'd like to say before we close it off? Once again, your school is located out there in Coover. Let's know how we could find you, how people can find you.
Okay, so my school is located in number 3 Arica Lane, Roystonia, Coover.
Mm-hmm.
And if persons are interested in contacting me, my number is 486-7645.
Nice. Thank you very much. All right, and continue the good work you're doing with children with disabilities.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.